This is the Quick and Slow Comedy Show. I'm Aaron Maslow. Glad you're here. Oh boy, am I glad you're here. We have Ethan Suhr on the program today. You're going to hear a lot about Ethan and his travels. He was on the show a few months ago, and he's just learned a lot, gained a lot, seen a lot, done a lot, and he's going to talk about all that he's seen and done. He's joined by Tom, Jamie, Nick, and last week's guest, James Hastings. Some of the things you're going to hear about are eating spiders, Chick-fil-A, local geography compared to other local geographies, sushi at the truck stop at Nisku, Tom's show bombing, and Nick's show bombing, and Jamie's show not bombing, but about the crack lady. There's lots of fun stuff in this one. I think you're going to enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, write us an email, a dirty, nasty tweet, a Facebook message filled with punctuation. I don't know. Gow. We are so glad you're here. Just enjoy this show. It's a good one. Lots of info. You're going to love it. We love you. Ah, you get it. Here we go.
Oh, God.
And that's enough B-roll. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Quick and Slow Comedy Show. I'm your host, Nick McQuick. As always, I'm joined in studio by our fabulous, talented engineer of sound and all merriment magical things in your ear, Tom Brent.
It's me.
Yes, the inventor of Tomicon.
I did invent that. I'm also going to run a Tom Roast, so that's going to be... Never mind then.
So that'll be a mysterious event coming in the future that people can hear about, right?
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
You're getting good at this less information thing. You're really picking it up.
We've been working well together.
I know.
Practice every day.
And as always, helping out in the studio, we have the fabulous and talented Jamie Nall.
Yo, pie.
Jamie Nall.
That's me.
Yeah.
Always and forever.
How have you been?
Good.
Very brief. Very yeah. Not giving me anything.
I'm keeping mysterious.
It's 100% uncut mystery.
Just always thinking about small parrots. So
yeah.
That's it.
Did you see any other prostitutes at Yuck Yucks?
No.
Anybody smoke any meth recently at a show?
There was a girl that claimed to do crack very, very, very insistently, but I think that she was just trying to impress the headliner.
Nobody.
Okay. Was she being crowd worked, or is that how she got in?
It was crowd work. But oh, okay. She just really wanted to impress him and just was like, I do crack. And then it became, you know, the joke that this was the crack lady. So I guess it worked.
Maybe that's just like a keyword for like analingus or something.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows with these kids
she
nowadays.
She did look like a butt stuff girl.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And joining us from last week's episode, returning guest, James Hastings.
Yeah, I just didn't leave.
Yep.
Whoops.
Yep, exactly.
Still here.
Business has been slow, so he's been here all week.
Yep. Really just slept on the floor.
And joining us in the studio, really dressed up, collared shirt and everything, very cleaned up.
What? Yeah.
Yeah, Ethan Suhr.
Yo.
How you been, Ethan?
Good, man. How are you?
Awesome. Excellent. Yeah, we did a weekend at the comic strip a little while ago.
We did. It was fun. Super fun.
I had a good time. It was awesome. That was probably one of the best weekends I'd had at the comic strip.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
Because like, there wasn't a bad show.
No, and it was weird. The week before I did, there was the most backwards show because, like, the Wednesday and Sundays, which are traditionally, like, the slowest, were far and away the best shows, and all the shows in between were really weird. But the week we did with Godfrey was awesome.
Yeah, the sellout shows. We had, like, three sellouts or something?
Super fun.
That was great. That was incredible. That was really, really good. But you've been doing your standing-up comedy presentations for a while now.
Yes, I've been presenting it.
Yes, you've been presenting it to people. And also, you have been presenting it not just here, but there and everywhere in between. You've been down in the United States.
Yeah, I've been doing it in the States a little bit and stuff, so...
And
yeah, it's been fun.
A little bit in Canada and everything. Getting all
I've never been out to Eastern Canada. Like, I've never been out to Toronto or anything, but Western Canada, so beautiful... Saskatchewan and over.
Oh, Saskatchewan. Hey, the beauty of Saskatchewan.
It's the land of the living skies, Nick.
The land of the...
It's not terrible, but
if you're
like,
advertising sky everywhere...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not as
they put it on their license plates, though. They really care.
Yeah, apparently. What's the Alberta one? The
roses.
Wild roses?
Wild rose country.
Yeah.
Which we don't have many. Like, that's not something...
Wild rose party. Everybody loves them.
There's a lot of wild roses.
There's a lot.
Yeah,
I know because I used to eat them until.
But you'd never guess, like Alberta's synonymous with wild rose.
No,
you'd never think of it, and then you see it on the license plate. Like, well, what does that mean? And then you do some research.
Literally, I think like
around,
oil,
but not
oil would be a thing.
Yeah,
or like
sandy oil country.
a cowboy hat and a bigot or something.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know how you draw a racist. Maybe they got like a narrower head or something, but like put that in a cowboy hat and
just
sell
take
it.
A shot of a guy on Jasper Ave and use him as the logo.
Yeah. Oh, God. I want to run back here. You said you were eating wild roses?
Yeah. You can just eat the petals. They taste pretty good. I just really like food, and as a kid, anything that I found out that I could fucking eat, I would just actively eat.
Nice.
And your parents didn't have a lawnmower?
Well, I ate grass, too, and I'm allergic to it.
Wait, you ate grass and you're allergic to it?
I didn't know then.
Jamie, I have known you for many years, and I learn about you every day.
No, you can eat them, and they're really good, but... Guys, if you are planning on eating wild roses in the future, look carefully at the plant because very often in the middle of the flower are large, ugly spiders.
Oh.
They're white or yellowish in tone. They're terrible.
You normally eat like 8 spiders while you're asleep. Get some in while you're awake.
Yeah, but you don't want to look at them. They're really gross ones.
That's got to be a myth anyways. What, that you eat 8 spiders in
your lifetime?
I don't know
if I buy that either.
It's total bullshit.
How many spiders have you
eaten? Where do they get that from?
Spiders like it cold. And dry, and your mouth is neither of those.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the kind of spider.
Yeah.
There's some spiders that...
Trapdoor
spider? Is this for everywhere on Earth? Like, is this like Australia?
Some spiders love moist, dark places.
Yeah, Spider-Man.
So that...
I agree with that. I don't know if I buy that. I think it might just be a myth.
I feel like it's a really low number.
Like, look it up.
I just imagine they have like cameras everywhere, and scientists are watching like one guy sleeping, counting.
That's what I mean. How do they know? How many people have they done? They see like one guy in like a controlled environment.
That guy eats a shit ton of spiders in his sleep. Everybody must.
Maybe that guy just has like a fly in his mouth when he sleeps, and it draws all the spiders. Yeah,
Craig Spider Eater Johnson is an outlier and should not have been counted.
Also, I'm wondering, would you count that for like calories? Like Jamie or Tom, can you look up how many calories are in your average?
It's probably
spider?
Very low calorie. Don't seem like they'd be full of carbs.
I don't think they're probably
like
really
fat.
Good
I feel like
maybe
they're probably
protein.
Like protein.
Yeah. Yeah.
Protein.
Protein
and a little crisp in the exoskeleton.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe exoskeleton is carby.
Oh my God! Bay Area Bug Eating Society.
Okay.
I hope that they
society
are like Hooters girls, though.
Oh, my God, look at this!
Because of babes.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Turn the camera to this website.
Okay.
Serving size, 100 grams, but this...
It looks like GeoCities.
Like a cricket, that's a lot of crickets.
This
or Jesus. A big one.
Okay, so
crickets
yummy buggies.
Big, right?
Wait, did it say a cricket is 100
no,
calories?
No, this is a
no,
serving
they're
size.
They're saying a serving size
of
100
grams
of crickets.
Okay.
Yeah. Not that much protein.
Yeah, not a lot of protein on that. You got 500
grams is a very small amount. Ooh, but
562
calories
in crickets. Crickets are surprisingly calorie rich.
Where does the calories come from?
Termites.
Where does the calories in crickets come from?
Is
it from fat? Like, where is this?
Well, okay, hold on. Let's just look through. They've got a list of... This is a very strange website. What is this called? What is the website called here?
Back to the crickets.
planetscott.com/babes/nutrition.asp.
Acronym.
Can you please
just imagine somebody's Googling babes and they're finding
very information. Crickets are very high fat.
Okay. I guess. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's very weird.
Wow. Again, 5.5 grams of fat in 100 grams of crickets, you guys.
Anyways, we're here for spiders.
Yeah, we're here for spiders, guys. None of this cricket bullshit. You've performed in the Bay Area, haven't you? You did.
I actually didn't perform. I was just there for my brother's wedding. I was in San Francisco. I didn't perform there. But like Southern California, not Northern California, though.
Guys,
spiders are really high fat.
Very large spiders, important, remove fangs. 100 grams of spiders, calories not applicable, fat, calories 90.
What? Damn.
Not
a
total fat 10
Whoa.
Grams.
Protein
this 63 very,
grams.
You know, very large
spiders.
Spiders
are surprised. Spiders are. I don't know, man. That
so, in 100 gram of spider, you get 63 grams of protein.
Spiders
good for you, Nick.
Sound really good
up.
For brain health.
Gonna do the spider diet.
Yeah, get that spider diet
spiders
going on.
Are in shape, man.
So, you guys, brain health, spiders.
Mm-hmm. Wait, because in the Soylent Green movie, there was like Soylent Red and Soylent Yellow and then Soylent Green. I know. That, like, Soylent Yellow was supposed to be, like, plankton and bugs and shit like that.
Also, in Snowpiercer, they ate bugs. Mm-hmm. You seen that?
I don't know what that is.
They live on a train.
It's a pretty good movie.
Captain America
Jamie
lives
hates
on a train.
It, okay, it was good. It was fine.
It was, like, such a great concept wasted.
I mean, a fly flew into my mouth once.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, a fly flew.
I was just that's talking about it. I just really need to put this in front of a camera.
Oh, Jamie, you
eat that's right.
Meal replacements.
It's my Soylent.
Okay.
I just was topical and I needed to get it. That's all.
Okay. So, Ethan, you don't really drink pop. You take care of your temple.
I like pop. I just, I don't know.
Like, how much, like, what do you go for, like, a, like, spider diet? Like, how, like, what do you go for protein daily?
I didn't work out for a long time because I always worked out, like, through high school and college playing basketball. I always worked out. But then when I was done, I got, like, super lazy and then didn't and then just got fat and really out of shape. And so I made, like, a concerted effort to get back into shape.
But
and
you don't look out of shape.
Well, now I feel like I've gotten back in shape. Okay. But, like, there was a while I was like, ugh, that was pretty heinous. And,
yeah.
I don't know. I try and, I don't know. I'm not, like, crazy about a specific diet, but I get, like, protein powder, try and have a few shakes of those a day.
Mm. Okay. That's usually, like, after a workout or something?
Yeah. I don't know. I just try and not eat terribly. That's really the only thing.
That's the key to it?
Yeah. I don't have, like, because you seem more like a diet. I know you have your, like, cheat days and stuff, oh, like, yeah. A specific that's diet, right?
It's got a fucking crazy. App.
Yeah.
You have an app?
Yeah, I count all of the food that I eat, all
really?
The calories, everything.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, so you're like strict about it.
Oh, yeah.
How many calories do you try and get in a day?
My cheat day, I go for about 7,000, 8,000.
That's ridiculous.
But like there, that's 5,000.
That's like
1,500. There's cheat days, 7,000.
So on like a day and not your cheat day, you try and get like 1,500?
Usually I try and go 18, but I usually get under.
Are you hungry at the end of the day or you feel full? Yeah.
Usually I'm pretty hungry at the end of the day.
Really?
But yeah, you almost always go to bed hungry. But the thing is, I always go about 150 grams of protein. And
yeah.
Usually, like, it's 15 to 18 thousand calories. So.
8, this is really funny, I got to say.
I find it interesting. How do you eat 8,000 calories, though? That's insane.
8, calories?
You know what? I guess if you pack it into real high-fat foods. Like
no, not just high-fat. Like, they're, well, high-fat
like
doesn't have
like
high
pizza.
Sugar.
Like,
right, like, I know
much.
If it's, like, calorie fast food, is, like, that adds up quickly.
Yeah. Well, like, a lot of spider loaf, okay?
Spider loaf.
Very good. Like no, the most calorie-dense things that, like, I eat a lot of, I have cheesecake. I'll usually eat a whole cheesecake. And a brick of cheese.
Oh.
Just a brick of cheese.
That sounds terrible.
Oh, it's
not shit for a week.
It's not good, but like it gets me those calories.
So
is
many
this
because
you're just like so hungry throughout the week that you'll just eat whatever?
No, I like
you just like a brick
the,
of cheese.
The whole science behind it and
fasting
is
and nearly fasting is actually really good for longevity.
Fasting and then you splurge on it. What it does is it spikes your insulin.
Oh, okay.
Because normally you have insulin flux, but because I'm basically losing calories and cutting, and then I have a massive spike of calories on my intake.
That was nice.
I guess, yeah. Oh, you know, that was a burp, not a puke. But
you're allowed.
Yeah, it it basically it keeps a healthy metabolism.
Okay, fair, fair.
After we after this comes out, before the next episode comes out, I'm going to be in California,
San Diego.
Yeah,
very nice.
When I do my touring down there, there's a lot of places that like. You can get food in San Diego. A lot of places that you can go and get food that you can't get here. And I'm like, that's where the diet just falls apart.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'd like up until the last time I went to the States, I never had a Chick-fil-A.
I said, Aaron Maslow, when I was in Denver, told me to go to Chick-fil-A and I didn't go.
It's
really
so
good.
Good. Yeah. It's so simple too.
Wait,
it's a bun.
It Chick-fil-A or Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A.
It's Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. That's how it's pronounced.
I always thought it was Chick-fil-A.
No.
Actually?
Yeah. No.
Oh, really?
Chick-fil-A is my porn
name. I can understand
name.
Why you would.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, that's what goes into well McDonald's chicken nuggets.
Yeah, the Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A. Isn't that Wiz Khalifa's cousin? Oh, this is the
get
worst.
A lot of Mexican food when you're down there.
Oh,
it's
I'm
so
gonna,
good.
I'm gonna. There's
so,
so many crazy options. Yeah, it's literally like I think I'm a half hour from the border. So
yeah.
Well, also, that's where Mexicans used to live. Before
really?
Whitey's kicked
before they
out.
Lost?
Yeah.
Is that why it's got a Mexican name? Sorry, a Spanish name?
Yeah.
They don't speak Mexican, do they?
No, they do not.
Not a real thing. It's good, too, because I'm going down there before the wall gets built.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Get down there before
just
that
in
wall.
The nick of time.
Yep. That's whoa.
What was that?
I don't know.
This is the nick of time?
I think a soundboard.
That was awful in stereo.
I don't know, but I have a feeling that somebody's going to sample
that. Is
that
like a premeditated
that.
Thing you guys said?
No?
If he says nick of time, we have to do this?
No, they met today.
What brought that on?
And that can go in the bingo card for sure.
I like to harmonize with people's laughs. Mm-hmm. It's just a weird thing to do to weird
really,
people out.
Really like serendipitous.
It worked.
Jeez. I'm missing out on something here. Now I'm confused.
But yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I'm pretty new at like touring in the States though, and you've done a lot of touring, like
a little, not a ton, but yeah, like I've done a decent amount.
Let's say
now,
a couple handfuls.
Yes. Yeah. Sure.
You've been around. You've done a couple minutes.
Yeah.
What like when I'm in San Diego, of course I'm gonna be getting a lot of Mexican food and stuff. But yes. Like, what are some of the things of? And I know it's different from province to province within the States. But what are some of the things that you recommend?
In-N-Out Burger. Have you had In-N-Out Burger?
I've never had In-N-Out Burger.
Get In-N-Out Burger. It's only in like three. I think it's in California, Nevada, and Arizona. And it might be in a few other ones, but it's ridiculous. It's just like old-time burger shop where you can get like a burger, a double cheeseburger, and fries. Those are like the only options, but it's ridiculous. Wow. Get In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I don't know, because I haven't been, like, my brother actually went to school in San Diego years and years ago, and I haven't been to San Diego in a long time, but LA and San Diego are pretty close. Just, I don't know, man. Like, it's really fun to just go see the hole in the wall. Like, Mexican food is my favorite kind of food, but just being on the coast and in the ocean, like, it's kind of tough to go wrong in a city like that. Yeah.
Like, I feel a little weird.
Yeah,
getting a lobster or something.
Yeah, you gotta get the fish.
Sushi.
Yeah.
And you gotta... Because, yeah, like, you always have to get the fish when you're at the place where the fish comes from.
Oh, totally. Exactly. Me and Jamie, when we were in Vancouver last, we went and got, like, cheap sushi, and it was...
10 times better than...
Really good.
Like,
right?
Really good. Like, as good as expensive sushi in
I don't know. Have you guys been to the truck stop in Nisku? They've got pretty good sushi there.
Do they actually?
No.
Okay.
God, no.
Like, is this a hooker reference?
They've got botulism on rice.
Yeah. it's disgusting.
Yeah, sushi in Vancouver is super good.
Yeah, it's like wherever the fish is, you gotta eat there.
Just the weather, man. Like, it's freaking May almost.
And we got, like, what, 4 inches of snow
today?
It's
not normal for it to last this long, but before it started to heat up unusually. Before it started to heat up unusually, it used to snow all the time at about this time of year for the last time.
Right.
But it would always be one night, and then it would melt pretty much.
The one I always remember is you, like, May long weekend, there'd be a bit of frost usually, and that's why you couldn't plant tomatoes before that or something.
Something like that.
Yeah,
you hang out with way too many little old ladies.
Yeah, I do. Okay, that's when we're playing.
Nick is actually just made of five little old ladies.
Five little old ladies in a trench coat.
Yep.
That's what I am.
That explains the curls.
Yeah. Oh, the curls for the girls.
Alrighty.
So Ethan, out of everywhere that you've performed comedy. Where is somewhere that you'd love to go back? Where is somewhere that you went to and it just knocked your socks off?
Well, I think you'd agree Denver is pretty awesome.
Denver is the Boulder.
Just such a cool city.
Boulder show?
I actually wasn't able to do the Boulder. Like, I met Brent.
Brent Gill.
Yeah, at Comedy Works, but then he asked me to do it, but I was leaving the day before.
Oh, man.
So hopefully next time. But really like Denver. L.A. was, like, fun and stuff, but L.A., like, I don't know, it's just so weird. I really liked, this is kind of, I did not expect I would, but Cedar Falls, Iowa has this, like, octopus show. It's called Octopus, like, comedy show. Weird. But, like, I went into it assuming, like, this is Iowa, this is, because, like, my dad's from Iowa, I know Iowa, I love Iowa, but it's not, you don't think, like, this will be a fun comedy show. It was so fun.
Really?
Yeah. But I don't know, everywhere I've gone, there hasn't really been anywhere I've gone that I'm like, this kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But I think Denver is probably the coolest city, because I grew up kind of back and forth between here and the Midwest. So when I went all through the Midwest, it wasn't all that new. Denver, want to go back to New York for sure.
New York's incredible. There's
so much stage time. Oh, and it's just the city itself is just.
The thing is, when I went to New York, I wasn't a comic, but I like was just saturated with things.
Did you like it?
Oh, I loved
it. Yeah, because like, there's literally like you can't not be doing something.
Yeah, it's like you could live and not go like further than 10 blocks from your home and never get bored.
Yeah, because every block is just like you just like, walk down a street, then go down the side street, and there's something else going on. It's just,
that's an example of a city where it's like you don't need a car, you don't need to go anywhere.
It's
wherever
stupid
you are,
to have a
there.
Car if you're in New York.
Because I remember taking a cab one time because I was wearing high heels and didn't want to walk.
Yeah,
and I would have been able to walk to where I was going faster.
Well,
because
stuff because traffic's
like, so jammed up.
Like in this side of the city, we're on because. I live right by here. It's not a big deal, but we want to go to the shows. It's like you have to like get in the car and drive like 15 minutes at like the least, which isn't a big deal, but it's nice. And like New York was just like, I'm in uptown. I got to get downtown. And it'll be like maybe a half hour with like one connection and you're just on it, but it's so easy.
Yeah.
I love it.
The subway was easy.
Oh, it's insane.
I think that like New York subway was incredible. It was so convenient for getting
around. It was so efficient.
But for like transit, like overall, the two cities that like just destroyed like were so great were Montreal and Boston.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just the way Boston is set up on a grid with like four big kind of train things, it was just so easy to get around.
Well, it actually makes sense because like in Edmonton, it makes no sense. Like downtown's not down.
Yeah, no.
Maybe that's nitpicky. That bothers me.
Downtown's up.
Yeah.
It's
it
up.
Doesn't make sense.
That's a Dave Wilcox song.
Yeah.
Uptown, downtown.
I'm upset I referenced
it. If I'm like north of downtown, it's okay with
this.
Me. If I live south
right.
of downtown,
that doesn't make sense.
I feel wrong
I gotta go
about
up
it.
North to down. Like that's, I'm not, and that's not like supposed to be a stupid joke. It's like a genuine
no,
kind
it's
of
like,
bothers me.
No, I understand. But because I currently live north of downtown, I was like, okay, I can justify it because on a map it's down.
You don't really live north, though. You live east.
But like, still,
well, let's not let the listeners know.
A little bit. It's mostly east. It's true.
Yeah.
Let's not put them in a quadrant.
A little bit
here.
North, though. A little.
No, it's a weird city. Plus the fact that we built like the whole city and then we started a grid.
Yeah.
And we've got like three sections that there's nothing. It's just a big empty field, and we have the northwest section is all filled up.
Edmonton's just a weird city in general, like. Because growing up between here and like Minneapolis, St. Paul, it's in a lot of ways really similar. I don't think anyone really gets this unless you've been there, but like the Twin Cities is actually a lot like Los Angeles in the sense of like Minneapolis and St. Paul aren't huge cities, but they have so many different municipalities and suburbs. So just like there's actual Los Angeles, but then you have like Glendale, Pasadena, all those things are just considered LA.
Burbank, Venice.
And so exactly. Yeah. So when you take it all into account, it's like millions and millions of people.
Yeah.
But like Minneapolis itself is not like entirely different. Edmonton, but it's a little bit prettier. It's a little like more green because a thing I struggle with Edmonton is just the whole like you're in the river valley, like wow, this is nice, and then you go like north or south, and it's just like wow, this is just a concrete industrial wasteland, and it's hideous.
It's very brown.
Yeah, brutalist. It's just not an attractive city. I don't think, and that's not mean to like shit on, say it's a bad city.
Yeah, it's like the center of it is really pretty.
It's very nice.
Well, we built that big shiny clamshell in the middle of downtown. They play hockey in so. That's
yeah,
a fun
like
thing.
The River Valley is real nice, and like all the little parkland around there is nice. But other than that,
yeah
it's like,
not the most
and then for like half a year, it's covered in dirt.
Yeah,
I always just call it Dirt City.
Yeah, it's aptly named.
It's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, well, Edmonton, it's got a lot of good things going on, but the thing is, when you travel, you kind of gain an appreciation for, like, other places, but also you gain an appreciation for Edmonton, like going to Regina.
Oh, God, yeah.
Going to Saskatoon.
Yeah.
Going to Medicine Hat, Lloydminster.
Going to Calgary.
That I've been recently. It's like, Edmonton's got a lot. We got a lot
going on. It's easy to just focus on the bad and be like, oh, this place fucking sucks. But no, it's actually, it is good. It's just, I don't know. It's just
Edmonton's a diamond in the rough. It was really rough.
A shiny piece
of very small diamond. But it's there.
Feel like Edmonton kind of is the rough, but there are lots of diamonds in it.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess. But I mean we're pretty lucky too as comedians. We have a very good comedy scene here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
It's like a lot of stage time and a lot of support of people.
It's a lot of stage time and there's a lot of money too.
Right.
And there's a lot of audiences because like haven't gone around. Like you haven't been to Toronto yet.
No. But I've done like New York and like and I know like Chicago and like LA and like you go to like open mics and it's an open mic and there's just comics there and no one's paying attention. Like really how do you get a sense of that? Whereas like there's really no such thing as an open mic here.
No.
No, there's always
there's always a crowd.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing because like you know when you go to a different city and you see like there's so much stage time and then like here there's a ton of stage time but if it's just like luck of the draw like you're booked on the shows and you gotta wait like a few weeks and you don't get on draws a week you can get a little crazy of like oh it's been like 4 days since I've been on but it's totally worth it because the time you do get is actual stage time in front of crowds and you can really gauge it.
I feel like a lot of places where they have like 7 shows a night or something like that it almost seems to devalue it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
the scene needs to grow at a rate equal to the audience growing,
which
is something that a lot of people that are running shows in town have done a great job. Like since I started comedy, the Underdog Comedy Show, the Empress Comedy Show, all these big comedy shows have started up and built up an audience, and they've got a lot of people coming in.
And I feel like audiences like everywhere seem to have like significantly grown.
Yeah.
Because, like, we keep getting rooms and they keep still having audiences.
Except for this
too.
Last Thursday, Yuck Yucks.
Yeah, but okay. Fucking goddamn hot.
That was painful.
The week before we had 80 people.
Sure.
But that is cool because, like, I don't know what it is about Edmonton, but people just, like, really are into comedy here. And it's cool how people come out, and specifically, like, the kind of White Ave area. Like, they love coming out to comedy. It's really cool.
Yeah, I feel like because of the polarizing nature of all the industry here, the art community is really tight.
Yeah.
And the people that support the arts are really into supporting the arts.
Yeah. And there's also not as many music shows going on as there could be here. So, well, we're going to go do something on a Tuesday. It's comedy.
Yeah.
There you go. You're welcome, guys.
thanks for dropping the ball, music.
And also, comedy shows start on time.
Yeah, I know, right? I fucking hate that shit. Mm-hmm.
Do you actually?
Everybody.
There's nothing that I hate more than the rock clock. It's the bane of my existence. I want to go home and I want to go to bed.
I thought you meant you hate that comedy starts on time.
No, he hates that music doesn't start on time.
That is kind of frustrating. My brother's in a band. He's always like, we're on at 11.
And
it's
then
like
it's
12.
Always like,
The last show that my band played, we got about 10 or 12 people out. They all left before we played.
Yeah.
Because we went on at like 12:30 or something like that.
It's a weekday?
It was actually a Friday.
Okay.
But it was like before the Forge opened. And like the promoter wasn't even there, even though it was her birthday party or something like that. Yeah. And we got some friends out to go. I got stuff to do on Saturday. We got to go. And it's like, oh, okay. So we literally played to like three people.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, oh, welcome to the Edmonton fucking music scene. That's bullshit. Right? Whereas like, you know, I've only really been exposed to the comedy scene since hanging out with Jamie. And it's like, I've never seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Even on a slow day, there's still those 12 people that are always going to be there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Music doesn't have that because it starts way too late and it's bullshitty and it's too loud or it's too this or it's too
that. I love hearing that, like the different sides, because for me, like I grew up like kind of playing in bands and stuff, and like I love music, and like obviously as I do comedy, I prefer comedy music. I can listen to music a lot easier than I can listen to comedy. That's kind of the point. Like, the grass is always greener in so many ways, because with a comedy show, if it's like overbooked or something and it goes past an hour and a half, like for me at least, there's only so much laughing you can do.
Yeah.
And I hit a wall where it's like, even if everybody's super fan, I'm like, oh god, I've heard enough jokes. Whereas with music, if it's like going smoothly, it's like I can't get enough of it. And like, this band was
great.
The new acts up, and you can just keep listening to music and stuff. Just be like, all right, man, we get it. Music, like, I'm done. You know,
I feel
what
like
I mean?
Comedy demands engagement, where music, you can disengage and still enjoy it.
Yeah,
it's something a lot of people don't know when they are organizing a show or booking a show for the first time. Is they're like, let's have 20 comedians.
It's No, let's not.
Yeah. They tap out after an hour and a half. Yeah. It is quite evident.
After about 90 minutes, because you keep on building an expectation, breaking an expectation, setting them up, and like you're just pulling the carpet out, doing jokes, and like after a while, they're just like, we're just not going to believe any expectation.
And when you headline a show, it's so stressful if it's going like that.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Because you're just like, it's not all, like everyone has to get their stage time. You want everyone to enjoy yourself, but you have that self-conscious, like, by the time I'm up here, no one's gonna want to laugh. Like, when I was in Wichita, I was doing an hour there, and like, they were super cool people and stuff, and I don't mean it's like knocking personally, but they just like booked it in a strange way, and then they were like, it was already going, like the show started at 11.
Oh.
Yeah. And then
Wichita,
Kansas, man.
Far from this opera forever.
I was super nervous, but it actually, like, it was a good turnout, and I was, like, really psyched, because I was doing an hour, and then there, like, right before I was going to go on, this guy was like, hey, this guy's, like, a local legend. He's got to go up. He's just going to do a tight five. Get him going. And it just was not going well, and the guy was up for 25 minutes. And I was like, dude, it's midnight now. And then, but then it just worked out, like, I don't know why. They were all super cool and engaged and into it, but I think that was definitely the exception rather than the rule, because if that was me and I was at a show and it's midnight, I'm just waiting another hour.
Exactly. And I mean, that speaks to us all being like old people.
It's like some of us
I'm a very boring person too.
Yeah. It's like you even talk about that on stage, how boring your life is.
Well, that's a frame of reference though, because like what's exciting to somebody just is not exciting to me. Like going out Friday and Saturday to drink just does not excite me.
And then like I feel like a lot of people would think that you were not that boring because this guy goes out and does comedy,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's
that's
strange.
True.
Like,
that's true.
Literally, I was I did comedy Thursday, and then Friday I built IKEA furniture at night.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what I want to do. It's right. Like, this is good. I like staying at home and like building things.
Yeah, you can definitely sound like the old guy that's just like, well, I'd prefer to like go outside and go hiking and go out. But it's like, to me, that sounds a lot more exciting than just like, I'm such an old guy. When I go to a bar, I'm like, I can't hear you. Like, I can't have a good conversation.
I am such an old person.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, yeah, basically, like, it's my bedtime. I can't hear anything. Why is everybody touching me, these youths?
I'm a pretty antisocial person, too, on top of that. So, like, even when I'm really enjoying myself.
Well, thanks for coming out.
Oh, yeah. Even when I'm, like, having a really good time and I don't want to leave, it's just, like, who I am. I'm thinking of, like, how do I get out of here because I need to leave. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
It's very similar for me because, like, I can be in a bar on stage in front of, like, a whole bunch
right.
of people. But when I'm off stage, surrounded by people, I'm like, okay, I don't like this.
It's just very uncomfortable.
I'm just going to go away. I think that there's something in the like seclusion of it.
You always get to have your back to a wall, and it's safe.
Yeah,
that's
true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
It is a weird mindset. There's nobody more alone in a comedy club than the comedian on stage.
I know. It's so weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there are those times where you're like doing it. I'm like, this is just the greatest thing. Like, what's better than this? And there's other times I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, this is so stupid.
Yeah. I don't think that there's anything like any sort of a job like that where you question your motives more frequently.
Do you struggle with that? Because that's actually something I've been struggling with like a lot recently.
I there have been times where I'm like, I could just stop doing comedy and do like movies and TV and this. And I'm like, no, you love comedy. This is just a weird day,
right?
There are also those like they're the highs and the lows, and there are some nights where you get off stage and you're like, holy crap, like that weekend we had with Godfrey was unbelievable.
Yeah,
that was so great.
It's basically just drugs.
But the thing is, for me, like I almost struggle more with it when it goes really well. Like if I have a show that like goes super well, and then I'll leave and I'll be like for a little bit, like that was awesome. Then I'm like, so what? Like, I just start feeling so narcissistic and self-indulgent where it's like, I was kind of thinking about this all day, which means I'm just thinking about me. Then I get up on stage and it's all been like, I hope they're reacting. Then I get off like, they reacted. That was awesome. I go home like, what a great show. I'm like, I don't think I've thought about anyone but me in 24 hours. And I just feel like a garbage person.
And then you want to go home and talk to your wife about you?
Yeah. And then I start ranting. And she's nice and puts up with it. But I'm like, man, I should just like, go become a teacher
for,
and like stop being like, such a douchebag.
Well, that's about the same.
For me, when I get off stage and I do well, but it's like off my material or like things that I've done, I don't feel fulfilled.
Really?
I feel like I did good. I got my laughs, but I knew I would because this is good stuff. It's when I go up and like I'm riffing or I go to the crowd and I'm just being quick on my feet. It's like that. And I get off stage. Then I'm like, hooray. I did all of that. I did it without planning.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I've accomplished something.
For me, it depends on the crowd. Cause like if it's like a crowd that's typically seen as like easier.
A softer
jokes
room.
It's like, okay, but like it is fun to go into a place where like these jokes typically go well in front of like a young liberal crowd and you're in front of like an old Alberta hoser crowd and like the jokes you do, which aren't just like my bitch of a wife of mine kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then they actually go, I'm like, that was fun.
That feels more like a win.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like the thing I find is if I can work an old joke into my material and just work in the punchline to what I'm saying without actually going into the story or anything, usually I kind of am like, hey, look, I found a new way to do this.
Yeah.
And so much of the comedy afterwards, I'm always like, because I record it, I go back and listen to it. I plot my laughs and reactions, see where I'm getting them, try and tighten it up.
Oh, man.
Type it out verbatim, and then I've got like my comedy journal that I type that day. Yeah. So for me, it's a lot of it is in the growing and like the meticulous cataloging and all of that sort of stuff. And I mean, on stage, it looks so easy, but there's so much fucking work behind it and so much work ahead of it still at that point.
No, that's cool. I always like hearing about different like writing processes of like, did you write it? Went well. Like, okay, there's a joker. It's like, no, I'm just going to, like you said, that's cool. You like catalog all that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't do anything. Like, do you do stuff like that?
I like write.
I don't do any of that. I'm not a nerd.
I will write things. I'll write things down.
Yeah.
When I just, it's really standard. Like, I'll just write things down, and then when I, before I do something, if I need to think it, I'll write it out. But that's
okay.
Like it. I don't fucking catalog. Like,
yeah.
Instead of just talking into a speaker or to myself, sometimes I'll just write it out
right.
instead because it helps me remember things better.
Yeah, I agree. I have to put it like pen to paper because I can't type either.
No,
if
me
I
neither.
Type, I don't remember it. But if I have like a pen and I use it, like, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
then I come up with ideas and then sometimes
yeah.
I,
nothing heavy duty, no analytics.
I do it pen, I do it on my phone, everything. Analytics. But the thing that I learned it, with the process and everything, I wrote this one joke and I wrote it with a pen. It was a fountain pen. And the just to kind of preface it is I'm a big fan of gay rights. In fact, I'm gay for all rights was the thing. And I wrote that, but the pen messed it up. And what I wrote was I'm a fan of gay rights. In fact, I'm gay for alt rights. And I'm like, that is so much better.
That's funny.
And it was just because I had written it down with a fountain pen.
Yeah,
it was sloppy.
That's hilarious.
So I was like, oh my, for alt rights.
Oh God.
I know.
That was
so
awesome.
The process of writing that joke actually made a better joke.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That was actually really, I got to say, because Nick told me and Jamie that earlier in the day, and that was a really smooth, calculated working into the conversation, that joke.
Well,
that's
like,
I'm pretty like, wow, that was like so seamless.
Well, do you remember how I was talking about how like I like on stage I try and work stuff
yeah,
in like
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
I'm getting pretty good at it.
Yeah, no, I can see it. I got to say, like, outside observation.
Nail it.
It's almost like his job is talking.
Yeah, who would have thought, eh? But that's the one thing, too. You bring up a good point there, James, is it is the job. So, like, all of the work I do, all the recording I do, all the writing I do, all of that stuff. Like, easily, I would say, after the Saturday show where we had two sold-out shows,
yeah.
I wrote for 3 hours the day after,
yeah.
just transcribing everything I said,
wow.
and then making a log of the shows. And it's like, it was a sellout show. There was a bridal party in the front. I made a game. There were 6 birthday parties. I made a game with the audience about who was turning the oldest. Mm, and
right,
and
right.
like, I just wrote down
That's
all
cool.
of that. And that took 3 hours.
Yeah.
It wasn't writing a new joke or like,
right.
it was just cataloging everything I've done so that I go like, damn. And as I'm typing, I'm like, oh, I could have done this.
Yeah.
Oh, I could have done this.
Yeah.
And then like, I just start building that muscle a bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I should probably do a better job of that because, like, I have my own, like, writing style. But, like, I really like writing new stuff, and I like trying new stuff. And I sometimes get carried away with it, though, of, like, I need to, like, polish a lot more because, like, it'll go well. But, I'm like, I should keep doing this. But instead, like, no, I'm bored of doing that. I want to try something new. But I think it's all about finding a balance because, like, everyone has their own approach. But definitely, like, yeah, going back instead of just, well, now I'm just going to go write all of this stuff that I'll never say. You know what I mean? Because I have so many pages and pages and, like, notebooks of stuff I've still never said on stage that I think are funny, but, like, and that's not because I'm such a prolific writer and just
Yeah, they're very small notebooks.
Yeah, I just get carried away with it, though.
Yeah. I find with my writing, though, is, like, I will – some days I write, like, a huge 6-paragraph rant that I'm like, maybe this will be funny. And then sometimes I just write that little short joke I did about gay rights.
Yeah, I just need to write something – a day, like, and if I, because I like writing scripts and stuff, I either have to like write that, or if I'm just not feeling it that day, then it's like, well, I have to write a few pages of jokes that again I might never use, but just to any kind of creative outlet.
Well, and even then, sometimes writing a joke that isn't funny, just gets you thinking about
exactly.
in that direction. So,
yeah, I went to college job and I wrote like 3 pages of some of the least funny jokes you'd ever read. But I was like, this was actually productive. I think.
Did you design a character that you debuted out of those jokes?
Oh, God, no. Maybe one day.
Because you designed your character that you do at a sketch comedy on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know if you know, I do a character I call Standrew Cadillac, which is like. I just like combo names, and Stan and Andrew go pretty well together. And I don't know. I just like took everything because I've done comedy for like a couple years now, but I tried it for the first time like 7 years ago.
Close to 3 years.
Yeah, I think close to 3 now.
Yeah.
And when I first did it just like a handful of times, there were a lot of things I just hated about stand-up. And it's, you know, this probably sounds pretentious and judgy, but, like, still, the stuff I just really don't like about stand-up, instead of just being annoyed by it, I was like, well, this could be kind of fun to just take all of that kind of hacky cliche stuff and put it in this really over-the-top character that, like, is so unfunny and tells the worst, most poorly thought out jokes that are borderline offensive, but is so confident and just has so much bravado and like wears shades and like the sports coat and just acts like he's killing it all the time. And
Colin
it's fun.
Kane.
What's that?
It's Colin Kane right there in a nutshell.
Yeah, except with jokes.
Who's Colin Kane?
He was just this guy we had at Yucks who was just fucking terrible, but that's a long story.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it was a guy they needed extra security for because of his bad.
He was a comic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, really?
He was a headliner.
This guy brought in from the States. Like, he was just horrific.
That's hilarious. Did he wear the sports coat and everything?
No, like he wasn't.
He was more V-neck shirts.
He was just like overconfident.
Yeah.
And
isn't that the worst? Like, I think overconfidence in anything, but especially in comedy, which is weird because I think as a lot of comedians, like the cliche goes, is like we struggle with confidence, where it's like it's a very confident thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the overconfidence is
exactly.
So transparent,
exactly.
Too, as
exactly.
Not confidence.
So I think either way, if you act like not confident at all, it's like, well, obviously you have some confidence. So you went up there. But if you're just so bravado and like I remember a few guys telling me, you got to like puff your chest out, man. Like, no. Like, I'm going to start like flexing on guys. This is supposed to be funny, not me
well,
trying
like,
to look.
I have the pendulum bookmark of Scott's with the Scott Porteous to the Sterling Scott. Like the lack of confidence to the too much confidence, sort of. So it swings from one Scott to the other Scott.
That's funny.
But anyways, Standru Cadillac.
Yeah,
honestly, he sounded a little bit like a weed doctor, Dr. Standru Cadillac.
Like my weed doctor, Dr. Robert Ferrari.
Actually
hilarious. On the prescription.
That's Bob Ferrari. That's so good.
Oh god.
Bob, yep. Oh, it's man. Funny because if you Google Robert Ferrari. I think the first thing that pops up, one of the first things, is the sexual assault cases against him.
Oh, God.
Yep. Edmonton doctor suspended at least 6 months for sex with patient. It's the third thing.
Well, that wasn't assault.
Oh, sorry. But
it's just...
Yeah, he's not
unbecoming misconduct is definitely a lot
I'm
different.
I'm upset I didn't think of that name.
No, Standru Cadillac, I got to say that's like... Equal.
I was pretty happy with Standru. Standy Cadillac.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was.
Buying names is great.
I'm obsessed. My brother and I, we grew up like making just stupid like 80s action movie spoofs, and we were obsessed with combining names. So everything was like Glennard or Vernest and like stuff like that.
Vernest.
Yeah, Vernest.
Vernest.
Oh my God! One time, I don't even remember where it was. I saw someone named Rictoria.
Oh my God!
Whoa,
that's amazing.
Is one of the best things I've ever been a part
that's
of.
That's like a mad scientist or a
was that a woman?
I don't even
Rictoria.
Remember.
That's terrible.
I feel like it was. Yeah, no, that was. It was a chick.
One of the best things
I don't
I've
even
ever
remember where I heard it.
Rictoria.
Rictoria.
Moria.
Rictoria.
Oh, you saw Rictoria on Maury.
Rictoria and Clinton.
Wow.
Rictoria. Oh, man. If I have
Rictoria
a daughter,
forgave
name.
Clinton for trying to get her mom pregnant, but now has her own secret.
Rictoria.
Oh, classic Rictoria.
Yeah. Oh, Rictoria.
I met a guy named Jonald, and it was like...
that's a fat kid name.
He was this little Asian server at Denny's. It was like 3 o'clock, and I went with some friends when I was in college, and he was the worst server of all time. And like, we all ordered food. My friend Jordan was like, and I was like, "These names." We also called him Jonald, so we called him Jonald every chance. He's like, "Jonald, can I get a milkshake, please?" And he's like, "Do you need it?" He's like, "No." He's like, "I'd like a milkshake." He's like, "I'm tired, man. I really don't want to do that." And we're like, "All right." And then he orders food, and then Jonald just brings out the completely wrong me. I was like, "Jonald is having an off night, but I like his name.
I don't want to do it."
Yeah.
That
just
is
lazy.
Great. Oh, my God.
Didn't get a great tip.
There you go.
I just figured out Trump's
right
America.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's all sketch right there. The worst waiter in the world. Yeah,
John.
I might like change his name to like Chadthony or something.
Chadthony.
On the grind.
Keep Jonald's identity safe.
I mean, there's only like 3
that's,
Jonalds.
That's like, if you're like, there's probably only a couple
Jonalds.
Wait, was it a Jonald with a J O H N?
It was J O N A, like Donald, but with a J.
Jonald. Jonald D.
Oh, man, they're all.
Jonald D. Trump.
Okay, apparently, that's like a Asian name.
Yeah, I guess there is.
On the Grinder, the lead character's name is Mitchard.
What is Mitchard?
What? Rob Lowe plays Mitchard.
Mitchard Grinder.
That's really funny.
Amazing.
I am very happy with Nick off this.
I had a horror. I had a joke. Well, it wasn't even a really funny joke or anything, but I just find the name Glennis really funny. And so I had a joke about that. And then sure enough, the girl or the woman in the front row right in front of me's name was Glennis. It was so – I felt so bad.
I felt so bad.
Like, she was a good sport, but I could also tell. I was like, oh, no. Because I just put her name on blast, and, like, all her friends were, like, pointing and laughing at her. I was like, this is so mean.
And you know they're going to use those jokes later.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to steal your material.
It's my material.
There was a guy in the front row, and his name was Greg. I was like, oh, like, what's your name? What do you do? Sort of thing. And I was talking to him, and he's like, Greg. And I'm like, Greg with 2 G's? And he was like, no, 1. And I'm like, well, no, I meant, like, at the end, Greg. And he was like, no, 1. And I'm like, did you come from a poor family? Couldn't afford an extra G? And he's like, I said Craig. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm an asshole. I'm an asshole. Sorry, you need a microphone, audience member.
That's awesome.
Like, God damn it.
You can run into trouble trying to be funny with people's names.
Yeah, you really
can. It's, like,
can.
Surprisingly offensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. People get, like, particular about their names.
Well, it's like,
oh, don't
that's...
I know it. No, just move forward from that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like it's literally who you are.
Yeah, you identify pretty closely with your name.
But it's only that, like, you didn't get to pick it. It's only that because people called you that for a long time. And, like, when people yell it, you look now.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not super. There aren't many jokes about the name James. So, like, if that happened, I feel like I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
There's a it's a pretty common name.
Yeah.
Too,
it's
typical. Male name.
It's just like, ah, yes, a white dude.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the worst is going to a place where there are a lot of kids, and everybody's like, mom, because
of that court order.
Yeah.
Actually,
the only person with one of those in this room, Nick, is not me.
You're really good at not being specific right now.
Yeah. I practice every... So often.
Well played.
Good
callback.
Oh, man.
Move forward.
One thing I wanted to talk to you about. We're pretty lucky here in Edmonton because we have the comic strip. We've got Yuck Yucks. We've got a lot of places to go out. But, like, we get to meet a lot of, like, touring headliners from all over the place.
Yeah.
And then you get to go and tour and kind of have them vouch for you and get in at a lot of places. Now that you're at the strip and you've met a lot of, like, comics from New York or L.A., the next time you're coming back there, do you feel like that's going to – you're going to lay down some ground work for maybe starting more high-level touring?
Yeah, I don't know. I hope so. A guy that was recently headlining there that I middled for, he vouched for me with an agent. Not, like, so I have, like, my own agent, but just, like, a – kind of like similar to like a callback here in agency. And that was really nice of him.
Is it Triple Run?
No, it's Funny Business.
Oh, okay.
And he vouched for me them, and they've like communicated with me. And it's cool because, without me having to like reach out to like bars or whatever, they've said like, well, let's know and like, we can put you like there. And it's not like a huge deal. And then another guy gave me some contact info, and like I've heard from some like clubs in the States, they're like, yeah, let us know when you're here and like we'll put you up and stuff. So like, yeah, it's very beneficial because just that name to vouch for you obviously stands for a lot more than me reaching out. Like, I don't know how many other comics do like, yo, I'm hilarious, book me. Like, no. You sound terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, absolutely. I hope that can lead to stuff. But I also am hoping like in August, I don't know for how long, but since I'm a dual citizen, I want to go back down to the States for like an extended period of time in either Minneapolis or Chicago. And just try and get in, like, I have, in theory at least, we'll see, because talk is cheap, but an in with a good club in Chicago, and I know they get a lot of scouts from, like, pretty cool places, and whether that leads to anything or if I'm good enough for that, I have no idea, but it would be at least a cool thing to attempt and see if that can lead to any other stuff, so we'll see. Well,
you've got some pretty good credits behind you. You did Burbank.
Yeah, I mean, so hopefully you just keep building on it, and, I mean, I really genuinely wish there was just a bigger industry here for it because, like, I you know, I do have a soft spot for the States, but like, especially the last time I was there, while I really enjoyed it, I just, for the first time ever, I felt pride in being Canadian, and I'd never felt that before. And I don't want to leave Canada. Not like I was ashamed, but you know, I never felt like, man, I'm happy to be. I was like, I don't give a shit. And that was the first time I'm like, man, I don't want to leave Canada, and I really don't, but.
Doctors.
You know, just like a better quality of life. And like, it's funny, like I like the Midwest and stuff. We're so similar to the States, but it is, and I don't think you really understand until you live there, like it's so different. And I prefer it up here, but if comedies I want to take like a big shot at, I'd like to at least give it a try in a city like Chicago or Minneapolis. Well, so
for you, we'll talking see. About giving it a shot and giving it a try, one thing that you do that is very different from a lot of other comics, you were on tour a little while ago and you're a married man.
Yeah.
And yeah. Your wife came out with you.
For a little bit of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she came. Well, like, we went and did that. Oh,
ha, you've got somebody who loves you.
I know, it's so gay. No.
Yeah.
No, I went, she came with me to L.A. when I did that festival, and then she came with me to Minneapolis, and then she came home. Then I went all over the Midwest for, like, a month, and then I was just feeling really sad because I was missing her, and I don't care if that makes me sound like a Sally or whatever. It's
makes
there's a
sound
reason.
Like a human. Then.
Yeah, exactly.
Of their wife.
Well, that's like the Albertan thing.
Isn't that
thing,
why you got
like,
married
man,
to her?
Exactly.
You like being around her?
But then like, you tell that to people. It's like, okay, come on. It's like,
so, like, well, why would you marry her if you don't like her?
I don't get that. But that does it does make things complicated in the sense of, like, if it was just me, it would be so much easier for me to be like, well, I'll just go wherever, whenever, and not think twice about it. But it's a good – I won't even call it a problem because I'm definitely a lot happier when – whether a show goes great or whether it goes horribly, I can go home and I have someone to hang out with instead of just like, well, I'm back to being horribly lonely kind of thing. So
no, it's good. You just put on 60 Minutes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
That's like being in a relationship, right?
Yeah.
He's put on 60 Minutes to a YouTube video where you build a shelf. That's how you pass time.
Pretty much the same thing.
Yep. But that, so when you're touring and everything, you're pretty lucky in your life. You're like day-to-day life. You have a lot of freedom. And like, So you can get out and do a lot of comedy. You got a lot of time for writing, a lot of time for planning, touring and touring.
Yeah.
And you've got a support system there. You got this lady.
She's just the super cool person that's, like, super supportive. Like, I know a lot of people, significant others, might, and I don't want to paint everyone with the brush of, like, the naggy woman or, like, the overbearing dude or whatever. But I know a lot of people, it's either, like, why are you spending so much time with comedy? Like, pay more attention to me. Whereas she's, like, there have been times, like, I don't want to do comedy. She's, like, get off your ass and go do comedy. Like, don't be a bum. Like, she's just so supportive. So it that really does help and make things a lot easier because she was, like, pissed about it, and it'd be pretty easy to be like, all right, well, I'll just get a normal job. And so, no, it's very lucky, definitely.
Yeah.
It's good to have a team.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Pound it.
Excellent. Gross. But also with that, you've got your you were saying dual citizenship, your family growing up. Your brother is in a band.
Yep.
Your other brother is a... Would I say college athlete? Like, what level is he? Because he's in the NBA, isn't he?
Okay, so yes, Steve was an orator. Steve's the oldest, and he was like a Division I NCAA player. Really good.
Yeah.
Set the NCAA record for highest 3-point shooting percentage. Pretty good. Mm. And then he played like 10 years professionally. He was in the NBA Summer League and stuff, and he's kind of phasing out of that, honestly, because he's been 10 years.
Because, yeah, well, he's got
he's getting his mid-30s.
Sweet job at a John Deere, right? Selling tractors.
Exactly, can't turn that
screw
down.
Screw this NBA.
So he's kind of phasing out of that and just, like, doing his own, like, shooting coach business stuff. And then my brother Ben is in a band, and then my brother
Ben's
Sam
Ben's full
is,
five?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's Ben. You. That's Ooh. My brother.
Yeah, there you
my
go.
Third oldest is like 60.
My third oldest is like 60.
No, Ben's in a band. They were actually just over in Europe gigging for a couple weeks, and they go back in the winter. So that's going well for them. And then my brother Sam's a teacher. So, yeah.
Wow. So, like, you've got, like...
He's the one normal person.
NBA superstar, band, comedian, teacher.
Yeah, Sam's super funny, though. Like, him and I, like, he's a guy I made movies with, and we, like, write scripts with each other and stuff. He's one of the funniest guys I know, but he's also just, I envy him a lot of ways, because he's just content, like, and I'm not easily content, and not like he settles. He's just a very, pretty happy guy, like, married, has a new house, teaches, loves it. It's awesome.
Man.
I know.
That'd be the life.
Would be nice. to be content.
It's just reminding me of how sad I
am. Yeah, but to have worked for it too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So not have it be Oh, great.
Just imagine Thanksgiving at your family though. It's like, first of all, you're all freaky tall people.
Yeah, I guess the shortest is like 6'3".
Yeah, it's crazy. And then it's like you've got your 3-point shoot captain over there, your musical maestro. You've got your nonstop jibber jabber talky guy, you, and then you.
Oh,
got
I talk the least, man.
Really?
I hate talking.
We just figured out what the name of the podcast is.
You're literally like, oh, I love painting, but I can't hold a fucking brush to save my life.
It's like it's just like the release, I guess. Because it's like part of why I liked comedy so much was it like pushed me outside of my comfort zone. Yeah. But like if I do like a longer set. Like anywhere between 20 and like 45 minutes, I'm like, I'm not talking for a week. Like, I hate the sound of my voice. And it's not like, actually, I think I have a pretty good voice. But like, I hate
make
talking.
Up your mind on that.
I like doing comedy, but like, I'm joking when I say, hey, Tom, I like talking with people, but like, I'm very comfortable with not talking. Like, I'm very comfortable just listening to people. And I think sometimes that gets perceived as I'm being a dick and I'm just like isolating myself. Whereas like in reality, I'm just like, no, like, you guys are doing great. Keep it up. Don't interfere. You know?
How funny do you think it would be if you just stopped talking on stage and started doing prop comedy?
Well, I do a voiceover thing where sometimes I have like an intro where it's like I record something before, and so it's like you can hear my thoughts, and I just come across like really arrogant prick. But I was thinking it would be kind of fun to record like a 5-minute voiceover and not say a word and just do a whole set and try and time it. Like, hope I can find where the laughs are going to be, and then like, maybe like go to the place, go record in the back, and almost do like crowd work so I can like call out people for how they're dressed and stuff. I might try that sometime so I don't say a word. Huh. And I can just be like, all right.
That is some Bo Burnham shit, man.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, nobody else is doing it. Yeah, so, man. I mean, hell, get on.
Now that I said it's someone, we'll do it tonight at the Empress.
You've got a couple weeks
before
this comes out, so you got to get that figured out.
That'll be Nick's new thing. That'd be hilarious.
No, me, I can't stop talking. Yeah. I notice when I'm doing worse on stage, I talk even more.
Oh, really?
Too much. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's kind of tough not to. It's like, I need a laugh. Say something funny. Yeah. You say something like, that wasn't even remotely funny.
Yeah.
I learned to stop talking and make a stupid face.
Yeah.
And that usually works now. I'll just be like.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no. One comedian I shot a while back with a camera.
Oh, yeah. Good to do.
Just in case.
Yeah.
That her thing was like, she would take a sip of her drink whenever something didn't land, and that made it funny.
Oh.
It was the timing of it. It was,
I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of the same silly face thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I'm not doing well, I just start talking more and more, and I'm like, I didn't think that's funny. Okay, we're going to talk about some horrible things then. Like, okay, we'll see if the Hindenburg's funny now, huh? What about the Titanic, guys? How about these, what was it, Sean Spicer? Holocaust camps.
Oh, yeah. God.
No, Holocaust centers is what he called them.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know. I just start grasping it. So for me, it's like, I don't want to tell my jokes. Don't make me tell my jokes.
Yeah.
Just
let
me be spontaneous and enjoy it. Yeah.
You selfish bastard.
I feel weird because it's like they're like, we paid for comedy. And I'm like, okay, but what if I just make it all up on the spot?
Yeah.
You guys want that? Yeah. I've got some good stuff, but you don't want to see that. Yeah. When I started getting paid to do comedy regularly, I was like, because there's always self-doubt and everything, but I was like, no, people now believe I'm funny enough to invest money in this product. So there has to be something behind it. And that was something Dino told me when my second weekend at the Strip, when I bombed, he said, like, I was like, I was really nervous when he was talking to me afterwards. And he's like, listen, you're already here. You're already paid to be here. I already booked you to do this.
Yeah.
Everybody has a bad night. I wouldn't have put you on a weekend if I didn't think you could do this. And I was like, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sometimes you just need to hear it from somebody else.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, you hear from yourself enough of, they just didn't get it. That was a great joke.
Gosh, I never think that.
Nope.
My first thing is always like, it isn't that that joke was terrible. It's that you're terrible.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
where I go. Yeah. It's really? Not like they didn't get it. It's not that it's a bad joke. Yeah. It's that you're a bad person, Jamie.
That's how I used to feel, too. It, like, honestly, that's exactly that. It wasn't just like, it wasn't funny. It's like, you're a garbage person,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like, you're garbage at this.
Whereas, like,
you're
I think
the
I do.
The world's just not ready for my comedy.
I would never say it, but I won't lie. There are those shows where you can do something and be like, I know this is funny, but it's just like, if you're not, if you're not just like, making like thrusting motions and like saying fuck over and over again, it's just like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, at once at Yuck Yucks, it was the weirdest thing. Like, I was just like co-middling or whatever, but Carrie Unger was hosting, who's hilarious.
So funny.
He's saying all his funny stuff, which is, it's not up for debate. It's good comedy. And they just weren't giving him anything. Then Sean LaComber comes to do a guest spot, also not debatable, just funny. No one's giving him anything. And then someone yells at Carrie, like, start telling racist jokes. And they're serious. Yeah. So then on nights like that, you can't just be like, oh, it's me. It's like, no, it's them.
Yeah. Well, them. When
I do also logically know that it's not me. You know, right.
When I started out, there was a comedian by the name of who said, like, never blame the audience. And then I did one show where the entire front table, three people were puking. And somebody fell asleep. And I'm like, how do you not blame the audience?
That's the thing. Is
that's on
like,
you, Nick.
Yeah. That's on me.
It's never like fully one or fully the other. It's always a little bit of both, though. Like, sometimes you can be on your game and they will just not give you anything. Yeah. And sometimes you can be completely off your game and they will. Oh, yeah. And it's just fucked.
Like, last Wednesday, I did Devaney's for the first time. It just never worked, and I was so terrible.
They hated me last time.
I was so bad, and I told a joke that just, like my timing was so bad. I was just, like, and after I was like, that was 100% me.
I hate it when you feel that on stage, but then you don't feel bad when they don't laugh, because you, know, like, I didn't even.
It was just a five-minute thing, and I'm, like, trying a joke. I don't really care, but you do have to, can't just be like, you stupid idiots. Like, you're just not ready. Like, no, I was just pretty terrible.
Last Thursday, the last Thursday at Yucks, there was, like, 20 people, maybe, and I went up there and I was like, the stakes have never been this low.
And then I went up and fixed your sleeve in the middle of your set.
Jamie came on stage while I was up there.
It was driving at least three of us crazy, and I was just like,
that's more than half the audience.
I was like, he has 2 minutes left to recover. He can fucking handle this.
Oh, that's so funny.
So yeah, I'm telling jokes, and my sleeve's like rolled up like that.
And there's stripes on it, so it was just like so evident.
All of a sudden, I just feel something pulling on me, and I look at Jamie's on the stage fixing my sleeve. And I was like, no, this is perfectly normal, guys. Don't worry. Round of applause for Jamie.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I literally was like going on stage. I'm like, I can't tell my jokes. These people, everybody's bombing. The headliner for the weekend went up and did a 5-minute spot and bombed. Yeah. Like, good comics were not doing good.
Yeah.
So I was
Mark
like.
Mark actually did pretty good, though.
Yeah, for headliner.
He closed.
With you?
Yeah.
Fuck, no, I'm just kidding. Mark. I really like
him. But yeah, I just went up there and I'm like, I'm just going to, because I had written down reality TV shows. I was like, I'm just going to talk about that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I wrote was arguing with women. And I'm like, I'm just going to talk about that.
Perfect.
Let's see what I can do.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got 5 minutes out of it.
No, that's valuable.
Came up with a couple new jokes.
I think it's important to be like, and again, I could be horribly wrong because I'm still pretty new at this. So in 5 years, I could be like, yeah, just disregard that. But like, I think it's important to just be like, I don't need to crush every time. Like, it's good to be outside of a comfort zone to be like, how can I just adapt to the environment and like kind of spontaneously or whatever do well without it just being like, I know these are good jokes. It's like, really, what are you going to gain from it? Almost, if you know it's going to go well and it goes well, it's like, so.
And you always have those to fall back on if the experiment isn't working, right?
Yeah.
So. Well, and then the thing too, you said like, a lot of growth comes from outside the comfort zone, so it's good to get out and try new things. And then you also said, like, in 5 years, I might have a completely different opinion on that.
Right.
And that's something, because when I look back to when I was starting comedy, I was a very different person. And the thing is, I don't look back at that and be like, I'm upset that I did that. I look back at that and go, like, I'm happy I don't do that anymore.
Right, you learned from it.
Because I don't think, like, the chicken looks back at the egg and is like, fuck you, egg! It's like, no, that's where you came from, and you had to go through that to get where you are. So, I mean, for now, this is where I am, and I'm turning out a lot of jokes and making a lot of material and moving forward, so I'm happy with that because I'm seeing results from it.
Yeah, like, if you started with that same 5 minutes, which you still tell, but now it's like, but I'm up to 10 minutes, and you're like, ooh, Nick.
Yeah.
put it together, man.
But, yeah. You know. So I like that I'm growing within this, and it is uncomfortable and it's high risk in a lot of ways. Yeah. But yeah, I do have my jokes to fall back on if I need them.
Right.
So, I mean, where I am right now, I'm very happy with it, but like, I'm excited to see where I'm going to be, because it seems every year a little change happens.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the fun part about comedy. I think a lot of us discontent people, not necessarily everyone is, but like, I think the monotony of like a normal job, whether it's should or not, like for me at least, kind of bothers me. It's the fun thing about comedy. Even if you're telling the same jokes, you can be different. And that's something I really appreciate about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the thing, right? Like in any artistic industry, that's like, if you're not different from one year to the next, then you're doing it wrong.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right. You know?
Michael Bay.
Some explosions look different in this one.
Yeah.
Oh, he literally reuses explosions.
Yeah. Right. Oh, wow. That's hilarious. Man's a genius.
I mean, no. That was last week's episode. I'm not.
Yeah, he's got enough money that he can argue he's happy.
I'm going to say this. He has a shot named after him. You know who has shots named after them? Legends.
Yeah, I guess.
You know?
Michael Bay has a shot named after him?
Yeah. So it's the Bay shot. And it's like, you know the thing where like he uses a really long.
Oh, the opening for Full House.
Yeah, like, yeah, sure.
The Bay shot.
No, it's. Whoa. I think we're just. I mean, it's when he like swoops around a character with like a really zoomy lens.
Right.
That's his shot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like you see the background swing around him, and it's like crazy visual.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Michael Bay just needs a budget cut, and he'll start making decent things again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
An overabundance of resources.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you noticed any like change in you on stage or you writing or anything?
Yeah. I know when I. Went on stage, now I'm more okay with being like, I don't really know what I'm talking about, because in the grand scheme of this, I've barely been doing it, whereas before, I don't know why, because I wasn't even confident, but I was like, this is how you do comedy, and like, I had these really strong opinions that were based on nothing, but I went up saying like, I'm not going to act confident. If I'm feeling awkward, I'm going to be awkward. But I overplayed how awkward I was, so I was definitely like the guy looking down, like talking like this kind of thing.
Yeah,
which good Scott Porteous.
I was pretty much Porteous. No,
but taller.
Now I was definitely like that. Whereas now, like I still am trying to just be like myself, but I may not be like the strongest social person, but I'm not like that socially terrible. So I know it's that. And then yeah, I don't exactly know how, but like joke writing. I like to think it's gone stronger.
Your science joke is great.
Yeah, I'm pretty psyched about this science. Even though it very often goes poorly, I know at some point or another this science joke's going to go well. Just got to get it there.
So you become more confident in being yourself on stage.
Yeah.
And you've become more open to the idea of you being ignorant of the job, being more open to like learning and expanding.
Yeah. Like kind of the saying of like the only thing I'm sure of is that I really don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of just saying like this is how you do that, that's it. Like, well, no, I mean, this is my opinion right now, but I got to be open to like I could be really wrong, because there's a lot of people who know a lot better than I do, and be open to listening instead of just like no, that's not how the industry works. I don't know how the industry works, man. So
it's a good philosophy to have, though, because then you're always open to change.
I think just in life, that's very important to have. It's like I have very strong opinions on a lot of stuff, but I can't stand
gun control.
Love it. No.
I love that those two words are together.
No, I mean, like, I'm a very liberal person, but, like, without going on a whole political rant, whether it's on
left?
The... No, I am definitely not. Like, I was going to say, like, whether it's super far right or super far left, I can't stand when people are not willing to listen to a different point of view.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, just in everyday life or in comedy, like, because you do see that every now and then of guys who it's like, hey, think I know what I'm doing. It's like, you've done 5 open mics. Like, why would you know what you're doing? And like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times, too, when I started on comedy where people would come up to me and they go, you can't talk about that on stage.
Yeah.
You can't. And I'm like, I'll talk about whatever the fuck I want.
You saying that's just going to want to make, like, a contrarian comedian do that more now.
And you're quieting the discussion. The discussion is important.
Well, the whole thing for me is, like, people were coming up to me, like 18-year-old, 20-year-old comedians. I'm, like, in my mid-30s, and they're like, you shouldn't talk about that. And I'm like, I have a degree. Shut the fuck up. I'm like, I've lived a life. I've been stabbed. Okay, go back to your Legos. Go back to your Legos, little boy.
Forget the degree, man. That stabbed thing's a huge credit.
You're not an adult until you've been stabbed.
Yeah, I'm like, I've lived a life, okay? Don't tell me I can't talk about it.
Well, I mean, I do think it's important to, because, like, say, like, some jokes, like, that just a lot of people say you can't, like, subjects you just can't touch. Me personally, a lot of them I don't find funny. I won't laugh at them. But I do think it's important to be like, well, you can try them and just hopefully they bomb so terribly if they're bad jokes that you just stop telling. Because I know there are a lot of comedians who have told jokes like this and then now are saying, never. You can never do that. It's like, well, you did it and you learned. So why can't you let them learn the same way without like – and I get it. Like I think it's coming from a well-intentioned place. But you got to like live and learn and let others – learn also.
And like I tell a story where like I get a concussion in the bedroom and somebody calls me a slur and like I say that on stage and people are like, ooh, you shouldn't say that. I'm like, it's a true story. That's what somebody called me while they were assaulting me.
Which is wild that actually
happened. Yeah. And I'm like, why would I not be able to say that? I'm telling a story accurately and it happened to me.
Yeah.
That's like if I were to go, because I have been stabbed, if I were to go on stage and be like, I've been stabbed, and somebody's like, I was stabbed, and that hurts my feelings.
Right.
Like, I'm not talking about you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely a slippery slope of, like a thing I found. I think it's probably pretty transparent to talk about, like, rape jokes and stuff. I'm not a fan of rape jokes. I've personally never heard a rape joke. I'm like, awesome joke. I don't like them.
Wanda Sykes has a good one.
Okay, cool. And I'm sure there are good ones. I just personally, I've never been a fan of them, but I think it is a bit of a slippery slope, and I get where people are coming from for sure when they say you shouldn't tell them, but when it's like it, like what if somebody's been or like it normalizes in it, like it's not just a joke, but then it's kind of hypocritical because like there's that Saturday Night Live writer who got indefinitely suspended for her joke about like Trump's son and gun violence which is a very real issue, and then it feels like a lot of the people saying you can't tell those jokes and like scoffing when people are like, come on, it's just a joke. We're all horrified when this happened. Like, it's just a joke. Come on. Like, you can't censor people like this. So
for me,
it's a slippery slope, I think.
It's like what you were saying earlier about people that are like very far right or very far left are not willing to be part of a discussion.
Right.
They go, nope, this is offensive. You shouldn't be able to say it. Yeah. And it's like, no matter what debate you make,
right,
they're not gonna listen.
Yeah,
they aren't going to be a part of it because they have what they think is true, and it's just at that point it's almost like they've learned these things are bad and everything around them is bad.
Yeah, absolutely. What were you gonna say?
Oh no,
you have a good point. Look,
probably
like look
follow them.
But it's always about the extremes, people with the extremes, and I find it's something I've said before on the podcast. Anytime you paint with a broad brush, you miss all the fine details of something. Yeah. So, like, there, because is a comedian, and she tells a rape joke, and she was raped.
Oh, wow.
And she tells
it. Like, I feel like also
very funny,
and I feel like depriving someone of that catharsis is like,
oh yeah, because I mean,
right,
I talk
like
about
therapeutic.
Yeah, I talk about stuff that happened to me on stage. It's true, and there is a therapy to it. There is like a feeling of power being able to talk about a problem and going over it. So just, and because she has been in the newspapers about people saying like she shouldn't be able to talk about that. It's like,
oh, wow.
No, this happened to her. This is her. She could do. Why?
And of all the people that should be able to talk about it, it should be.
Yeah, so it's like you can't say that the victim can't talk about it. If it makes you feel uncomfortable, leave. You got feet attached to your ears.
Sorry, comedy clubs are uncensored, like most of them.
Yeah.
Too many people, it goes in the ears, and then they go right to their keyboard and use their fingers. Yeah. Use your fucking feet. Just leave.
Like, I genuinely can get, for me as, like, a straight dude, why there would be a lot of subjects if it's just, like, you don't.
Whoa, you're straight? Does your wife know?
That's offensive, man.
welcome to the show.
But like, I can get why there'd be some subjects where it's just like, or a lot, I'm fine with that. Like in comedy, just everyday life, it's like you don't really understand. It's like, okay, fair. Like, so I'm not gonna like talk down to like a person who does get it. But yeah, if the person who really does get it in that circumstance, it's, you can't tell. Like, now you don't get it either. So don't say like, no, shut up. Just let them talk.
Exactly.
And really, what it is in my mind is it's not listening to what they're saying.
Right.
It's listening to, oh, they're talking about that. They can't talk about
the
that.
Word is
it's
in there.
It's not listening
to
the point.
Yeah.
It's just the words. And it's like, you know what? If never told that joke, that never would have made the fucking paper.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think that censorship is a slippery slope, and it's strange because Lenny Bruce is, I figured out a little while ago, was the guy that came up with the quote, "The only person in a theater that can yell fire is the man on stage."
Ah, like it.
Yeah, very and nice. I like it too, and it's, yeah, it's just something that...
What does it mean?
You can't yell fire in a theater, because then it's against the law. It's the one example of freedom of speech you can't do is to incite panic. But right. If you're on a stage, you can yell fire. If it's in the script, if it's being performed, you can yell at all.
I thought you
day.
Meant like if there was an actual fire.
Oh, no.
What do we do? What do we do?
I was like, is there some weird protocol? No,
that's a great quote, actually.
So, yeah, and it's just like it's sort of the last bastion of free speech. And I think that the main rule of stand-up comedy should be you can say whatever you want as long as you make it funny.
Right.
And the audience will let you know if they don't find it funny. So if there is a subject that is a divisive subject, that is a hard subject for people to approach, a hard pill for people to swallow, a lot of comedians will be like, well, I'm not going to talk about that. Yeah. That probably, I won't be able to make that funny. But some comics, Jason Rouse, who is just headlining at Yucks, he makes his money off of being the filthiest comedian on earth.
Yeah.
Jamie, what does he talk about?
It's a lot
shitting
of
and pussies.
Shitting and pussings, pussies, kid fucking fisting old ladies. Like, yeah, basically he just tries to shock
family people. Friendly stuff.
Yeah, he's exactly. Super so, and I mean, like, he makes his money, he tours around invited. The world. So,
yeah,
so I think, what do we learn today? Like, growth comes from outside the comfort zone.
Yeah, man.
You have to be willing to understand that you don't know everything to truly grow as a person. And you have to learn.
Ethan has a tall family.
Yeah,
yes.
A tall family.
That is the number one lesson for today. I'd like to
say. He's got a mean laugh. Ethan, what's your social media? How can people find you?
At Ethan Sir on Instagram and on Twitter at Ethan Sir 33.
33? Why
33? Larry Bird.
Nice.
Yeah. And Patrick Ewing. Ooh. One of my two favorite players growing up.
Oh, okay. Well, go Celtics.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Go Raptors, though.
Okay, I guess like, favorite, subscribe. I don't know. There's buttons on whatever you're listening this on. There's just hit them. Hit all the buttons.
Text me. 780.
Not the report one.
Hold on, yeah, Tommy, you say you're
780-862-1124. Text me.
Yep, send them Tom picks.
Okay, guys, music is done by Ben Sounds. Go check out the Facebook page for all of our live podcasts and giveaways. Follow us on Twitter to get the fastest updates. And please give us some stars on iTunes. Thank you so much for listening to this. We had an amazing time making it, and I hope you guys enjoyed it half as much as we do. Keep on listening to podcasts in the free world. Good night, or morning. Uh-oh.
Okay, knock, knock, guys.
That's a normal thing.